everybody. It is Tom Doton. You have reached the end of another week, and you are listening to The Information's 411, the now only weekly podcast brought to you by the reporting team at The Information. We've gone down from two a week down to one because I frankly just didn't have it in anymore, and self-care is important, right? Anyway, great episode, though. I am talking to my media counterpart, Jessica Tunkel, as we dive into what is going on in the movie world these days. It's probably the most discussed topic in the entertainment business world, which is how does the movie industry go forward at a time where theaters are shut down and there's no real ending in sight about when these things are going to reopen. It raises huge questions about the economics of making movies, the resistance on the part of media executives to release some of their bigger movies initially on premium video on demand, basically for rental or for download. And it also touches on social matters, like how comfortable will people be going back to theaters, even if they are technically opened. There's a large percentage of people that just say, unless there's a vaccine out there, I'm not going to a theater, which I count myself as one of them, by the way. All of these things have huge implications, and Tunkel and I break it down for you. So it was a really fun conversation, and I think, like I say, one of the biggest topics happening in the media world these days. And by the way, if you found this conversation interesting, we are going to hold one of our video Q&As on this exact topic, the media industry and streaming in the future, next Thursday, the 30th of April, in which we have a panel of experts discussing these very topics. Either Jessica or I, or both of us, will be kind of moderating that whole thing. If you want more information on that, send me an email, tom@theinformation.com. All right, so that's it. Very media-heavy episode, and let's get on over to my convo with Tunkel. Hey, Jessica, how's it going? Seen any good movies recently?
No.
Yeah, that's about right. I don't know. I actually saw a decent movie last night on Amazon Prime.
What was it?
It was called Blow the Man Down. It's an indie film. I'm assuming they bought it at one of the festivals. But funny we should. And I've been watching Toy Story endlessly. All of the Toy Stories. I'm pretty sure I have the definitive ranking of the four Toy Story movies.
We've been watching the Harry Potter movies.
Oh, nice. Where are they right now? Is that on which service has them, or do you just own them?
We actually watched them on YouTube TV.
Oh,
we recorded them on YouTube TV. So we actually watched the commercials too, because we're using, you know, we're at my parents' house and they have probably the first iteration of the Chromecast. So you can't really forward effectively with it. And so
the commercials. The media industry thanks you for watching their commercials.
Yeah. They're all for toilet paper.
Yeah. I mean, why do you need to advertise for that? We all know we need them.
I don't know. They're for toilet paper and their PSAs, in case you were wondering.
PSAs on how to use toilet paper?
That'll be next.
Yeah, that's too personal. So we're not just making small talk. In fact, we are discussing matters of extreme importance to the media world these days, which is the future of going to see the movies. Because it is all up in flux. And so we've published like a pair of stories on this over the last 2 weeks. The first was a scoop that you and I had about all of these studios running to Netflix and Hulu and Amazon to say, please take our movies that cannot go to theaters. And then we had also an analysis piece that came out earlier this week, which is like, what are movies actually going to look like post all of this insanity? But let's start with a scoop. Let's start with dessert first. What did you make of, as we were reporting the story out, what did you make of like hearing from, you know, people from the studios that, you know, they're going to the Netflixes and Hulus and Amazons out there saying, please take our movies?
I mean, what was interesting about those discussions, I mean, for the most part, the people I talked to, the studios that were doing this for smaller movies, not for the big tentpole movies.
Right.
Because, A, they didn't want to carry the movies and just wait, you know. B, they were worried that if they did wait, and let's say when the theaters open, everyone's trying to get their movies out, their movies would just get lost.
Right.
So they thought it made more sense. Take the money now. Let's get the movie out. And then we can save our bigger tentpole blockbusters for the theaters. But what was interesting about that was because I was kept asking, I was like, well, isn't there a way to do blockbusters now? Like, what if the movie theaters don't reopen in 2021 until 2021? And the answer, and I'm sure you heard this too, I mean, the answer that everyone kept saying was like, oh no, they have to go into the theaters. The answer is the movies have to go into the theaters. There's no way you can recoup your costs unless right. you go into the theaters.
Right,
so
yeah.
It was just kind of interesting to kind of dig into that thinking a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's so much to dig into with this. But, I mean, just talking about recouping your cost, I mean, maybe like to take a step back for some people. I mean, the way like the Hollywood flywheel works is you basically trick the American public to pay, or and the world, really, to pay multiple times for the same product, right? It's like, you release a movie into theaters and you pay your money to go see that. And then it comes out available for rental or to buy. And then usually first buy and then to rent. And then you do that. And then at some point, it'll probably end up on television or on streaming. And while you know, the public don't pay for it, you know, the streaming services that you subscribe to do. And so it basically just takes the same product and monetizes it multiple times over. But the way it's worked for a while and the way that Hollywood is, you know, the mindset that they've been stuck in is that you've got to have a successful release in the movie theaters for it to all work. And so what's happening now with all the theaters closed is it just like throws that whole operation, it throws a wrench in that whole operation. It's like the flywheel doesn't operate in the way that they think it needs to.
Right, exactly. So now they have to, that's forcing them to say, okay, well, how could we rethink this whole thing? But then the other part of that is they don't want to rethink the whole thing
right.
because they're scared. And there's two big reasons. One is they're scared of the movie theater chains coming back and punishing them when
right.
theaters do come back. And the second thing, which we actually didn't get into in our stories, I don't think, was there's a real concern about piracy.
Mm-hmm.
That movies are easier to pirate if they're on screens at home.
Which, by the way, insanity. Like, that's just, I mean, as someone who knows people who pirate movies, I certainly don't do it myself. That's not how this works. And it's amazing. I mean, look, I'm sure there are people in the industry that will disagree with me on this, but I just think that's a very kind of early 21st century thinking, these worries about piracy. But, I mean, look, there's a lot of money at stake, so I understand, you know, the worry here. So
right. And I should also say the other concern is like, they just don't think that many people are going to, and I mean, this is a fair point. Are there going to be enough people who spend $20 a pop on a new movie?
Right.
And the answer everyone seems to think is no, they will not, especially when you get the volume of movies you get by, you know, just paying for something like Netflix, which is cost less than that, or Disney Plus or whatever
right.
have you. But I mean, which kind of lends us to the second, our analysis piece was like, what if you rethink the way you release these movies at home and be
yeah.
more creative? I mean, I think those conversations need to happen.
Right. And I think what, you know, we sort of uncovered or figured out through most of our reporting is that these conversations really are happening. I mean, like, you had this quote in one of the stories that like there's been like a very constipated thinking or something of along that measure. It's just like people
yes,
have not.
I think it was like, what was it, corporate constipation
oh,
or something
God.
Like that?
Something, yeah, speaking of toilet paper. So, but the idea is that they've been, like you said, afraid for so long, and yet, like, this whole, you know, fiasco, the pandemic and the closing of the theaters has been, as they say in Silicon Valley, a forcing function to make people think about it differently. And there's been this kind of interesting case study, not case study, I mean, you know, a thing that happened in the past couple of weeks, which was the Trolls World Tour movie came out for premium video on demand, which basically meant that this movie, which otherwise would have been in the theaters, was made available for rent for $20. And it's not entirely clear how well it's done, but like the message and the spin that Universal Studios, which put it out, has had is that like it actually worked. Like this was a really popular movie, and maybe it's an indication that more of this could happen. I mean, what did you think?
Yeah, I think people did look at that and say, yes, maybe that is an indication. I do think that for family films, there's a huge opportunity here, right? Because if you're a family of four, first of all, if you're a family of four, the math starts to make sense a lot more, or mm-hmm. family of five or family of three, whatever. But Also, I don't know about you. I'm not letting my kids go to a theater anytime soon.
Yeah, you and I are slightly different boats because your kids would actually ask to go to a theater.
Well, right, I guess Kyle's not old enough to go to the theater yet.
But yeah, I mean, like, you're obviously indicative of, as we, you know, kind of reported in the story, there's been in this internal survey that the industry has done, which said that some, you know, more than a third of theater goers would not want to go to a theater until there's a vaccine. I mean, that's a big number.
Right, and also a separate study found that 88% of parents with kids said they would be interested in watching new movies at home.
Right. Of course. Right.
And also, I mean, the other part of this is that we are in a huge economic downturn. You can make the, you know, it's cheaper regardless. It's cheaper to spend $20. I mean, think about all the money you spend when you go to the movies. You get the popcorn and the candy and everything. Like, it all adds up.
Right, right. Yeah, and going to the movies historically has been, it's funny, it's always been one of these things that people have said is, like, almost recession-proof, or in fact, you know, flourishes during a recession because people are desperate for entertainment. And it must really be kind of emotionally and psychologically be messing with the studios, the fact that, like, the thing that they've always been able to count on during economic downturns are non-viable because everyone's staying at home. I mean, it's totally backwards for them.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's really true.
Yeah. Plus, like, how are you going to eat popcorn while wearing a mask? I mean, that's just, you know, these are right. things no one's figured out. So let's talk about the creative ways that, you know, people have come up with to make movie going different, either during the stay at home period or even like as movie theaters reopen again. So what did we kind of outline in the story?
So, I mean, the first example is this idea of, like, can you create an event around the movie when you first release it at home? So, I mean, one thing I've been thinking a lot about is the, you know, Google did this Chrome extension with the Netflix Party app, which lets you kind of chat with your friends while you're watching a movie. And it's been hugely popular for my 12-year-old daughter and all of her friends.
What have they been watching? I'm interested.
Oh, what have they been watching? They watched, what was that Sandra Bullock movie with? That you weren't where you can't see anything. You have to be
Bird Box.
Bird Box, right? They watched that. They've been watching The Office, which she's always watching. But I think it's different when you're watching it with your friends,
right? Sure.
She watched a few other movies. I don't remember.
Interesting,
right now.
But it totally works as a social experience for them.
Oh, absolutely. And I think it's a real way to feel connected. And I think that's a fair, I know media companies are thinking about this right now. It's like, how can we create a more social experience around our content?
Right, right. So that's, you go ahead.
People are all at home alone.
Right, right. So that seems like a fairly easy, non-painful approach to doing it. It's more just like, how do we make the experience of seeing a movie better so that more people will want to do it? But we get into kind of crazier ideas here too, right?
Well, there's that, you mean the gaming idea? Like, can you sort of put the movie in some sort of game and have that kind of experience, like put it in Discord where people could watch the film and play a game and talk about it? That might be a little bit, that is something folks shared with me that is beyond my expertise area.
Yeah, like, I view that as, yeah, I view that more as just like an example of social interacting right. while watching a movie.
So then there's the other idea of creating some sort of variable pricing based on how highly anticipated the movie is, right? So would you pay more to watch Wonder Woman as opposed to a lower profile movie?
Yeah.
And can you price it as such? Like, so have some sort of elasticity in pricing, use things like Rotten Tomatoes and other forms of data to kind of decide what people would be more willing to pay for.
Right.
And doing something off that.
Right, right. Yeah, and I mean, I think you already see that a little bit to a degree. I mean, I know when like a new movie comes out versus an indie film you've never heard of, one costs a lot more to rent than the other. So I wouldn't be surprised if they start leaning in a lot more in, you know, to that, because if that's their main mechanism of making money off these movies, they'll have to do something, especially if it was a super expensive movie. But kind of in closing on this whole thing, I mean, two things. One is I was really amazed at the studio executives that I talked to are very committed to the belief that theaters will reopen at some point in the not too distant future, and that things will go back to relatively normal, that, you know, the movies will come out, people will flock to the theaters, and you know, you will be able to make money off of your super expensive tentpole films. I understand that's probably wishful thinking, but it's probably, I don't know, what do you think about that? I mean, are they just, you know, praying that this is the case, or it's just people are so ingrained in their habits that it has to come back?
I don't think that they're going to really come back until there's a vaccine.
Right.
And right. No one really knows when that's going to happen.
Right.
But I just don't see how they can really, I just don't see how.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be a strange experience going to theaters, right? It'll be, you know, checkerboard-like seating where there's more space between you and the other person. I've heard from some people that they're going to be very public displays of how clean the theaters are. And that gets to the other thing that we didn't really mention in our stories, but the dynamic between the theaters and the movie studios is really changed at this point, because you're looking at giant theaters like AMC that are on the verge of bankruptcy or declaring bankruptcy because they're completely stopped. And studios, obviously not in a great position, are kind of going to bail them out to a degree. And I've heard about, you know, studios are going to help with ad campaigns to let the public know that it's safe to go back into a theater again. But that also, like, the dynamic really changes in terms of, like, all right, now that we've bailed you guys out of a terrible position, movie theaters, like, start giving us the stuff that we want. Like, let us window the movies for the period of time that we want to. Let us keep our indie films on as many screens as we'd like to see. And let us take a larger share of the ticket, of the box office, when those negotiations happen.
I just think it's going to be really interesting to see what happens. I talked to one studio executive who actually was thinking the opposite way, that if AMC files for bankruptcy, they'll have fewer theaters, and thus they'll have more flexibility or more ability to be like, no, we don't have room for your, you know, to kind of punish them if they don't, you know, if they're mad about them putting movies out at home now, right? They thought there was more room for retribution post bankruptcy, filing for bankruptcy, which, I mean, the fear is real.
Right. Yeah, exactly. The fear is really very real. And I think, I mean, look, my hope coming through all of this, beyond the fact that, you know, let's get to a vaccine as quickly as possible and, you know, at least give people the option to go to a theater and feel safe about it, is that I think this will end up better for the consumer in the end. I mean, for the longest time, Hollywood has not done things that is for the best interest of the public, because it's in the best interest of their business. And I think there is going to be a lot more availability for consumers to see the things that they want in the places that they want. And, you know, I'm sorry that it took a global pandemic and tens of thousands of deaths for that to happen. But it probably is a good thing in the end, in my opinion.
I think it's time that the industry starts thinking about other ways of doing this. Absolutely. I mean, this, it's very reminiscent to when, like, Netflix started getting into streaming and everyone was like, you know, didn't understand where this all could go. I mean, right. I think this is another iteration of that.
Right. And the Netflix of it all is a whole other story that maybe we can get to another time. But all right, Tunkel, thank you for joining. I guess see you in the theaters in 2022 or whatever.
Sounds good. Take care.
All right. Bye.
Bye.